Hello, hello, hello. Here's Marlenka with another episode from Sri Aurobindo's essays, Divine and Human. Continuing where we left off last week, he says, to form no conclusions which are not justified by observation and reasoning, and to doubt everything until it is proved, but to deny nothing until it is disproved, and to be always ready to reconsider old conclusions in the light of new facts, to give a candid consideration to every new idea or old idea revived, if it deserves a hearing, no matter how contradictory it may be of previously ascertained experience or previously formed conclusion, is the skeptical temper, the temper of the inquirer, the true scientist, the untrammeled thinker. The interference of prejudgment and predilection means bondage, and until the higher mind has shaken off these fetters, it is not free. It works in chains and sees in blinkers. This is as true of the materialist refusing to consider spiritualism and occultism as it is of the religionist refusing to consider science. Freedom is the first requisite of full working power, the freedom of the higher from the lower. The mind must be free from the body if it is to be purified from the grossness which clogs its motions. The heart must be free from the obsessions of the body if love and high aspiration are to increase. The reason must be free from the heart and the lower mind if it is to reflect perfectly. For the heart can inspire, it cannot think. It is a vehicle of direct knowledge colored by emotion, not of ratiocination. By a similar process, if there is anything higher than the reason, it can only be set free to work by the stillness of the whole mind, not excluding the reflective faculties. This is a conclusion from analogy, indeed, and not entirely binding until confirmed by experience and observation. But we have given reason in past articles for supposing that there is a higher force than the logical reason. And the experience and observation of yoga confirm the inference from analogy that the stillness of the mind is the first requisite for discovering, distinguishing, and perfecting the action of this higher element in the psychology of man. The stillness of the mind is prepared by the process of concentration. In the science of Raja Yoga, after the heart has been stilled and the mind prepared, the next step is to subjugate the body by means of asana, or the fixed and motionless seat. The aim of this fixity is twofold. First, the stillness of the body, and secondly, the forgetfulness of the body. When one can sit still and utterly forget the body for a long period of time, then the asana is said to have been mastered. In ordinary concentration, when the body is only comparatively still, it is not noticed. But there is an undercurrent of physical consciousness which may surge up at any moment into the upper current of thought and disturb it. The yogin seeks to make the forgetfulness perfect. In the higher processes of concentration, this forgetfulness reaches such a point that the bodily consciousness is annulled. And in the acme of the samadhi, a man can be cut or burned without being aware of the physical suffering. Even before the concentration is begun, the forgetfulness acquired is sufficient to prevent any intrusion upon the mind except under a more than ordinarily powerful physical stimulus. After this point has been reached, the yoga proceeds to the processes of pranayama, by which the whole system is cleared of impurities, and the prana shakti, the great cosmic energy which lies behind all processes of nature, fills the body and the brain and becomes sufficient for any work of which man is actually or potentially capable. This is followed by concentration. The first process is to withdraw the senses into the mind. This is partly done in the ordinary process of absorption of which every thinking man is capable. To concentrate upon the work in hand, whether it be a manual process, a train of thought, a scientific experiment, or a train of inspiration, is the first condition of complete capacity, and it is the process by which mankind has been preparing itself for yoga. To concentrate means to be absorbed. But absorption may be more or less complete. When it is so complete that for all practical purposes the knowledge of outward things ceases, then the first step has been taken towards yogic absorption. We need not go into the stages of that absorption rising from pratyahara to samadhi and from the lower samadhi to the higher. The principle is to intensify absorption. It is intensified in quality by the entire cessation of outward knowledge, and the senses are withdrawn into the mind into the buddhi, or supermind, the supermind into knowledge, vijnana, mahat, out of which all things proceed, and in which all things exist. It is intensified in quantity or content. Instead of absorption in a set of thoughts or a train of intuitions, the yogin concentrates his absorption on a single thought, a single image, a single piece of knowledge. And it is his experience that whatever he thus concentrates on, he masters. He becomes its lord and does with it what he wills. By knowledge, he attains to mastery of the world. The final goal of Raja Yoga is the annulment of separate consciousness and complete communion with that which alone is, whether we call him Parabrahman or Parameshwara, existence in the highest, or will in the highest, the ultimate, God. In the Gita, we have a process which is not the process of Raja Yoga. It seeks a shortcut to the common aim and goes straight to the stillness of the mind. After putting away desire and fear, the yogin sits down and performs upon his thoughts a process of reining in by which they get accustomed to an inward motion. Instead of allowing the mind to flow outward, he compels it to rise and fall within. And if he sees, hears, or feels, or smells outward objects, he pays no attention to them and draws the mind always inward. This process he pursues until the mind ceases to send up thoughts connected with outward things. The result is that fresh thoughts do not accumulate in the citta at the time of meditation, but only the old ones rise. We will stop here for today and continue in the next episode. Thank you for listening. May the hearing of these words light something inside you that allows you to go further in. Bye for now.
This is Oroville Radio.